Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. It is the Pewter post-game show where we will be discussing the end of the Bucks season. It was a hard-fought effort. They went to the very bitter end, but ultimately the Bucks fell to the Detroit Lions in the divisional round of the playoffs by a score of 31-23 in a very entertaining game with a lot of big moments. We'll break it all down and look ahead to the future as well for this Buccaneers team. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. And Scott, some things to like about the Bucs game. Obviously, things to be upset about and disappointed, but what a run for this group. For real.
Yeah, it really was. It was a season that exceeded expectations, I think, from a lot of people. I think the Pewter Report staff was pretty much right on. I think if you took all of our preseason predictions, we predicted on average about 9-8, right? And that's what this team finished.
Yeah.
Depending on how other teams in the division did, were the Bucks going to three-peat as NFC South champions? It turns out they did. And They won a playoff game, right? And that probably has kept Todd Bowles employed as the head coach for one more year. Mm-hmm. Disappointing finish for him and for Baker Mayfield, who came up with two interceptions today. One was very similar to the first game, Matt, back in week six. It was the deflected pass, this time not at the line of scrimmage so much, but it went off of Mike Evans' hands. Yeah.
We don't really have to sugarcoat it. It wasn't Baker's fault at all.
Yeah. The second one, though, that was. I don't know if. Listen, I'm not a big proponent of going for two and then trying to, because if you miss it and it's a less than 50% chance, otherwise more people would go for it on 2-point conversions, then you're forced to go for it again on another low risk. I should say high risk, low reward type play from the 1 yard line or the 2 yard line. And, in this instance, they would have needed the 2-point conversion that they didn't get just to tie the game, send it into overtime. But I when I look at this game in its totality, sense, Matt, I think the Lions were the better team.
Yeah, that I agree. That's how I look at it. I had no problem with the 2-point conversion thing. You see every team across the league do it, so I don't really think that was a big deal whether or not to go for it or not. I'm with you. I mean, you could be angry that the Bucs defense allowed 31 points, that they didn't get too much pressure on Jared Goff, they didn't create a turnover for the second week in a row. They didn't get the
same. That was huge.
Eagles.
Yep.
But really, I just think it's more of you just got to tip your cap to the Lions for just being an extremely talented team. Like, even the run game, with the exception of the Jahmyr Gibbs touchdown run, I thought the Bucs did a great job at stopping the run, which I think was going to be a big issue in the game, just given the talent of Montgomery and Gibbs. There were tons and tons of volume passes to guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta. Brown hurt you with the touchdown, but no one went over 100 yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 8 catches for 77 yards. Laporta, 9 for 65. You knew they were going to try to get them the ball and and have them be as involved as they possibly could. But I think the Bucks defense came in with the right idea of a game plan of just, hey, we're not going to blitz as much. We're going to play coverage, and hopefully our guys get home with four. Ultimately, they had their moments where they could get in the face of a Jared Goff. But, yeah, I think I look at this more of just a supremely talented team in the Detroit Lions where, yes, it sucks that they lost, but what did we say for the past week? The Bucks are playing with house money. No one expected them to be here. And they fought their ass off, like down to the very bitter end. Like, I thought they were done when they were down 14, but not only did they make it close, they made an 8-point game. They got the ball with a chance to tie it up and go into overtime with that final drive. So I agree with you. I look at the talent of the Lions more than like, oh, well, the Bucks didn't do this or they didn't do that. Like, yeah, they had a tough time covering over the middle. So do a lot of teams that play against the Lions. It's just a really tough group to go against.
Yeah. Nice comment here from Michael, Lions fan, the found PR when they played earlier in the season. Enjoy what you guys are doing. Bucks fans, you guys are an awesome bunch and have a good team. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I love John Lynch. I'm rooting for the Lions in the next round, though. I just think
Bills Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I would love to see that, right? Because you're guaranteed then to get a new Super Bowl champion. Both of those franchises deserve a Super Bowl at some point in our lifetimes. And that matchup would guarantee one of those teams would get a Super Bowl championship. So that would be exciting to see. I think, too, this is a game where for the Buccaneers, and the reason I say the Lions are the better team is, Matt, if we go back and look at last year, right, the Lions finished 9-8. It was a big building block year for them, right? They laid a lot of bricks. They formed a foundation with Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson, who turned down coaching opportunities to stay with the Lions this year and kind of finish what he started. And that paid off in a 12-5 record. And it just seemed to me like the Bucs are a year behind the Lions, right? Just in terms of coaching, in terms of players and roster development and all those things, right? Like Jared Goff, this is what, year three in Detroit for him? Right, this is year one in Tampa Bay for Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah.
Ben Johnson's had a couple of years now to call plays. This is Dave Canales' first year. So if you're looking for what the Bucs could become, what they aspire to become, I think it's the Lions, right? The Lions didn't make the mistakes today that the Bucs made, right? And we had that picture up of Jamelle Dean. That's a dropped interception in the end zone right there. And that's 3 points. That cost the Buccaneers 3 points because the Lions took an early lead there. Who knows what an interception right there does for Jamelle Dean's day, for the Bucs defense day, for Jared Goff's day, how it affects things, right? Because now in back-to-back games this year against the Todd Bowles defense, guess what? Jared Goff has thrown 2 touchdowns and not an interception in either one of those games, and he's averaged about 300-plus yards. So Jared Goff is still the puzzle that Todd Bowles just does not know how to figure out.
Yeah, Jared Goff stopping him is one thing, and then also the Bucs offense. Remember, like, they didn't score their first touchdown in this game until the waning moments of the first half. So up until that point, it had been five, almost six quarters without scoring a touchdown against the Lions defense, which, as we talked about, can allow big plays. You can get some chunk yardage on them. So I think those are like really the two big things that the Bucs couldn't figure out. So I'm totally with you. They obviously have to re-sign Baker Mayfield. And we'll talk all this week, all offseason about who to re-sign, who to bring back, who may be back. But to potentially see year two with Baker Mayfield and Dave Canales, like what Baker was able to do at the end of the year this season, most notably the two playoff games, the game against the Packers, I mean, that was tremendous. That was tremendous, tremendous stuff. He had another really good game today. Obviously, the interceptions hurt, especially that second one. But he threw for 349 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, Baker was absolutely slinging it. There are still things that, like, make you lose your mind when he's in the pocket. But, yeah, I mean, if the Bucs could go on that same trajectory as the Bill, the Bills playing right now, as the Lions – I mean, there is still so much potential with this team and a lot of excitement about this team. there's a lot of key re-signings that they need. But overall, you have to be optimistic about the future outlook of the Bucks, because the outlook last year at this time versus how we view the Bucks right now is 10 times better how we felt about the Bucks last year at this time.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it on in Friday's SR's Fab Five, my Friday column, where the Buccaneers, they at least know a couple of questions that have been answered, right? It's like they have their head coach in Todd Bowles. They've got their offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, who I don't think is going anywhere this year. And then they've got their quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who I think is going to get re-signed. I think Mike Evans comes back. We know Tristan Wirfs is not going anywhere. The same with Antoine Winfield Jr. I think Lavonte David returns. I think that a lot of these key pieces, Chase McLaughlin did not pick the best time to have a field goal hit off the upright. That was a costly miss, right? And these are the little things, those early drops by Mike Evans, right? That tip where it was intercepted by, of all people, CJ Gardner-Johnson, right? Jamel Dean drop. It's those little things the Buccaneers did to shoot themselves in the foot that the Lions really didn't do, Matt.
You could absolutely make the case that the Bucs, to a degree, beat themselves today. Yeah. Whether it was the missed kick. And, I mean, if you look at the last playoff games going on right now, but if you look at the Texans-Ravens game from yesterday and of course, the Packers-49ers game, there were two missed field goals by the Texans that would have put them up 13-10 against the Ravens, and by the Packers that was big in the game as well, where that hurt those teams, and that's why they lost. For the Bucs, that would have been a big-time field goal for Chase McLaughlin at the moment. So you had that. You had the interception in the beginning. Obviously, the last one finished your season. Certainly a fair amount of mistakes by the Bucs. I mean, the Carlton Davis penalty at the end, right?
Yeah.
I know they ended up getting the ball back, but they could have got the ball back with a little bit more time after the Shaq Barrett sack. That's a tough one to
say. Yeah.
But yeah, a couple of self-inflicted wounds that hurt the Bucs today. Let's get to the super chats as they are rolling in. Appreciate all you pewter people. Starting with Michael De Rosario. Thanks for the $4.99 super chat, who says, proud of the Bucs and Todd Bowles finding us a great offensive coordinator. Thank you, Pewter Report, for the great coverage. Yeah, thanks for the kind words,
Michael. Appreciate it, Michael. Thank you.
I love some of the offense that we saw from the Bucs today. They ran the ball efficiently, but they maybe not too efficient, but they threw first and then started running. The drive when they tied it up 17-17.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing. That was just a beautiful drive. The hitting Cade Otton wide open, which is nice, because Cade Otton cannot catch the ball in traffic. If there's a defender even remotely around him, he cannot catch the ball. But they schemed him to get wide open. And then, yes, the screen pass to Rashad White with the blitz coming. It was just a beautiful, brilliant play call. And timing is everything, of course. And that was the perfect play to call in that moment.
You know, Matt, it just kind of like how we looked at last week's game as huge improvement from week three, right, by the Buccaneers, and it led to a 32-9 win over the Eagles. Huge improvement here from the Buccaneers, especially offensively, than what we saw in week six. Not so much on the defensive side, and we'll get to that in a minute, but the Buccaneers actually outgained the Lions 408-391. Baker Mayfield didn't throw a touchdown the last time. He had three touchdowns today, of course, two interceptions, but he passed for 349 yards. The Buccaneers were able to do better running the ball this time. They ran the ball for 46 yards in the last meeting, 89 yards today, 55 yards on the ground for Rashad White. Mike Evans went off today, 8 catches, 147 yards and a touchdown, overcame some early drops. And then you said Cade Otton and 5 catches, 65 yards and a touchdown. You know, he's gotten better. He still drops too many passes, as you said, Matt, and accurately so. You would like to see either Cade really take a huge step forward next year or just have him in that, like, tight end two role. But defensively, I think, is where the team took a step back today. They played pretty well through three quarters, and then the wheels just kind of fell off the wagon. Jared Goff was just hitting this defense. Whether it was zone coverage, man coverage, the middle was very susceptible. You know, Todd Bowles talked about maybe they should have played Devin White a little bit more. Devin White, when he was out there, didn't do a damn thing.
No.
he had one tackle today.
Like, I don't know if KJ Britt got hurt at the end, but
yeah,
like in the crucial moments where you needed a stop to get the ball back and try to tie it up.
Yeah.
Devin White was in the game, and it's like, well, you kind of know the Lions still did throw it a lot, but yeah, in those situations, you kind of figure the offense is going to run it, right, to force you to call the timeouts.
Yeah. 13 tackles for Levante David and a sack. 12 tackles for Britt, who had 9 tackles in the first quarter alone.
KJ Britt was, unreal, especially in that first half. Thank you to Brandon Mackey for the $10 super chat. Says, great season. Baker is the guy. Re-sign the key players. Address the interior offensive line, edge, and cornerback depth. I work in the CFL. Oh, very cool. So I know this world is crazy. Appreciate y'all at Pewter Report so much. Amazing work.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you
very much, Brandon, for the kind words. Yeah, the interior offensive line, Robert Hainsey got whooped a couple of times for sure. Just after the initial watch. I think that's one of the biggest upgrades this team can make this offseason, is either moving Cody Mauch to center and finding a new guard, or keeping Mauch at guard and upgrading the center position. But that would be one of the first things I look at. Edge would be very interesting. You know, Shaq had a sack in the game, but obviously costing the Bucs a pretty penny and not exactly the production you wanted out of Shaq this season.
Yeah.
Quarterback depth as well. You got Zion in there, but will Carlton Davis be on this team?
I'll tell you what, Matt.
If his last moment is that penalty.
Yeah, you know what? This team has got to find some defensive backs that can catch the ball, right? I mean, they had 13 interceptions this year, only 9 from the secondary, 3 of which came from Antoine Winfield Jr., 2 of which came from Christian Izzian in the first 2 games of the season, right? So Izzian did not have an interception since the Bears game in week 2. Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, they just struggle to catch the ball, right? And I think the lack of turnovers, Ryan Neal didn't have, you know, and he played a lot more today than I thought we were going to see from him.
Yeah, that was surprising, especially because the Lions factor the first game.
Yeah, he was a non-factor. And, you know, he needs to go. Devin White needs to go. They have to find some players that can then come away with some interceptions, because it's really hurting them. And you see in these 2 games against the Lions, the Lions won both of them. And they had 3 takeaways on defense. The Buccaneers had none, right? And it's like, you got to be able to take the ball away in the postseason if you have a chance to win. They got away with that last week because they had an onslaught of offensive points and were able to do enough. They did have the safety on defense, but you got to be able to get some takeaways and have some guys do it. And really, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. has been, you know, Captain America, Superman, whatever you want to call him, all year. Yeah. He was just about invisible today. Only 2 tackles, no splash plays from him. They blitzed him a couple times. The Lions were ready. Unlike the Buccaneers, boy, Baker Mayfield, he got sacked several times. It was not really the offensive line's fault. It was mostly the back's fault, the tight end's fault, or Baker for sliding protection the wrong way. But, you know, Brian Branch, who did not play in week 6, the stud out of Alabama, the first round pick, or I should say second round pick by the Lions, 9 tackles today, 1 sack. He was phenomenal. Melifonwu, the other safety, 9 tackles, 1.5 sacks, just coming off the edge on blitzes. So you didn't have Branch playing in that previous game. Also, no Jahmyr Gibbs in that first game either. Yeah. He made his presence felt. 74 yards on 9 carries and 8.2 yard average, including 31 yard touchdown. Then you also had him in the receiving game, 4 catches, 40 yards. So over 100 yards and a touchdown for Gibbs today, who really kind of outshines Rashad White on the other side of the ball.
Yeah. I'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to make one last point about the secondary and the safeties and the cornerbacks. I know everyone always talks about, like, oh, Jordan Whitehead, they're missing him. And that's true. But I think another guy that the Bucs really miss is Mike Edwards, a guy that just took the ball away all of the time. And at cornerback, Mike's a safety, obviously, but at cornerback, at times, the risk of having the guy that's like an ultimate ball hawk and looking to take the ball away is that sometimes you'll get burned on big plays because you're a little bit too focused on just taking the ball away versus your coverage. But I don't think that would be an issue for this defense, because Todd Bowles like instills in everybody, do not allow the big play, do not allow the big play.
Yeah.
So if you could find that ball hawking cornerback. I would love Jamel Dean or Carlton Davis as a cornerback too on this team. And you have that main guy to take the ball away. But to your point about the offensive line and the run game and the blocking, yes, a lot of the blitz, the Bucs could not handle the Lions blitz, especially in the first half. And all the games we watched this year, I have never seen so many like free runners at the quarterback. And not just free runners, but Baker not even remotely realizing that there was a defender in his
field.
They're lucky that Baker held onto the ball sometimes when he got sacked, because he would be looking this way and the defender's coming this way. And a lot of those times when you get sacked on a full-on blitz and when you don't see it coming, the ball comes loose because you're not prepared for it. And the Lions did a good job, credit to them. Josh Capa pointed this out as well, that they wouldn't even like disguise the blitz. They would just do it last second and it's tough to make those
delayed blitzes
In there. But Baker tries to play hero ball sometimes too much, and a couple of those like double hitches and stuff like that, pump faking, did not help the Bucs. Thanks to Paul, a.k.a. Florida Dreamhouse, for this $5 super chat, who says, tough decisions and signings in the weeks ahead for the Bucs. But for today, I say thank you for a fun season, both to the team and Peter Report. You are first class.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your contributions this season. By the way, the Bucs season is done, but nothing stops with PeterReport.com.
That's right.
We just changed the conversation a little bit to a little bit different coverage with your Buccaneers. So we'll still have all the podcasts each week, live events, and all that good stuff. So don't you worry. Peter Report still have our show.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a matter of fact, we've got tomorrow's show, which is the Bucs 2023 season wraps up. We're going to be at One Buccaneer Place, the team facility, tomorrow for Todd Bowles' season-ending press conference, as well as getting reaction from the Bucs players. We'll be talking to some Buccaneer players for the last time as they'll move on in free agency, and hopefully guys like Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield are re-signed, and we'll have complete coverage from what goes down at team headquarters on tomorrow's show at 4 o'clock. We will also be doing, like we do every Monday at 4 o'clock, win or lose, off-season or during the on-season, roll call at 4:20 tomorrow. So make sure you stay tuned to Peter Report TV, our YouTube channel, 4 o'clock live tomorrow for the newest Peter Report podcast.
Absolutely. Let's keep these super chats rolling. Thanks to Kathy Gillespie for the $4.99 super chat, who says, wow, what a game and what a season. Not hanging my head. You guys know I love Bake. He's gutted if you listen to his presser.
Yeah.
He was very, very upset. He said that the interception that he threw at the end of the game, that's going to weigh on him for a while. And he also talked as well. He was like, man, I would love to be back. He said, like, I really only want to be back if Mike Evans is back as well.
Right.
I don't know if Jason Light loves hearing that. But, I mean, he talked a lot about how he learned about himself, or what he learned about himself, and how he leaned on a lot of people in the organization. So, I'm not saying it's 100% lock that Baker's back, but I think both sides want it. So that checks out. Thanks to Robbie Gordon for this $5 super chat, who says, defense let us down. Bad.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Game plan. Being a defensive head coach, Bowles had too much trust on the defense today. 4th and 1, 4th and 4, punt on the road. I do agree. The last one, when it was 4th and 4, after the Lions just went down the field all over the Bucs.
Yeah.
Then the Bucs had the 3-and-out with the incompletions, but they were close on 4th and 4. I would have went for it there. I was saying go for it.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. You want to trust your defense. Your defense just allowed an 80-yard drive.
Yeah, I agree. That one more so than anything, because at that point in time, the Bucs had already scored a touchdown, right? You already had – your offense had already come to life and shown what it could do. I disagree vehemently, and I know that the analytics people and the stat people, they're like, you know, you go for it on 4th and 1, not at your own 34, not when, if you don't get that. And all it takes is getting stuffed at the line, a drop, an incompletion, you know, whatever. And the Lions have the ball in your 34 and at a fever pitch, right? It's an unforced error by your team. And they're already in field goal range. So then you're looking at probably 13-3 right there and then.
Yeah.
If not a touchdown. And an early touchdown like that revs them up and deflates you. And I just don't think it's worth the risk there at all. So, I mean, I get the analytics and stuff. Sometimes you got to read the room a little bit and understand that at your own 34, probably not the time to roll the dice there. I had no problem punting the ball. It didn't hurt the Buccaneers. The Lions didn't score. They ended up getting the ball back, so it was all for naught anyways. But that, to me, that did not seem like a risk worth taking, and I had no problem with Todd Bowles punting the ball early in the game to avoid going down 13-3 or 20-3 if they would have scored a touchdown.
Thanks to Tusk 3 for the $9.99 Super Chat, who says, I'm okay with this season. Re-sign the talent and dominate the NFC South for real. 2024 will be huge. Hope the Lions smash the 49ers. The NFC South will be quite interesting. I mean, Bill Belichick has interviewed twice with the Falcons, or the Falcons are getting interviewed by Bill Belichick.
Right.
it depends on the coaches there. Like, obviously, Harbaugh is still out there. I'm very curious to see how Atlanta looks. New Orleans has a new offensive coordinator coming in this year. Carolina, I don't really care who's going to be their head coach unless it's Belichick, because
he's not taking that job.
Yeah, but I think there is still a lot of room for growth for this Bucs team, especially, I mean, on both sides of the ball for sure, but like offensively, again, Canales year two, and hopefully Baker in year two. I just think a year of growth can do so much for this offense in a positive way, improving the offensive line just a little bit, finding a true blue wide receiver three, or if you get that improvement from Trey Palmer, who again shows flashes at time of being that guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. M. McKinnon, 88, $4.99 Super Chat. Thanks so much. Need pass rush help. Love Shaq, but no pressure. Feels like he hasn't snipped a sack this year. Also, please help block Hutch sometimes. Hutchinson had a sack today. Did a better job on Luke Getteke than he did in the previous matchup. I think Luke did a pretty good job on Hutchinson for most of the day. It wasn't like Hutchinson wrecked the game by any means. He made his plays, but he's going to. He's a Pro Bowl player. As for Shaq Barrett, I think he's gone. I don't see how this team can keep him. The cash outlay that the Blazers have to do in terms of paying him is not even about the cap, because they're going to take a cap hit, but it's, you need the roster spot for a younger, better player that you know can help your pass rush. I don't know that Shaq has it anymore, and you know this is an opportunity where the Blazers can save a bunch of cash by not paying him that base salary. So I think Shaq Barrett is probably going to be one of those guys that's let go this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that would be unfortunate, especially with everything that went on for Shaq. If you're looking at on-the-field stuff, though, it does make sense. I mean, the production just wasn't there this season. And as Lucas says, thank you for the $1.99 super chat to Lucas Batiste, says, we need an elite pass rusher so bad and safety. Mm-hmm. And I think you really saw that today. Because I don't think the game plan by the Bucs defense was wrong. I thought it was actually probably wise to not blitz as much against Jared Goff, who's really good against the blitz, but they just didn't get home with four. Yep. So you're kind of forced to blitz at that time. That's kind of been a story for the last two seasons in particular. And now you got it with Yaya Diaby. I think Yaya, that shoulder injury was really,
it was bothering him
because he got hurt again today.
Yeah, but still, Matt, I don't know that Yaya Diaby is a guy that's going to threaten the passer every down, right? He's not anywhere close to like a Simeon Rice was, right? And his prime or anything like that. And I think that's where, you know, maybe he gets there in time, but right now he's a sporadic pass rusher, and I think they need a guy that's going to be a consistent thorn in the side. You know, looking at a team you follow closely, Bryce Huff with the Jets, right? Just keeps coming every down and you really have to account for him, right? And a team like the Jets with Jermaine Johnson on one side, Bryce Huff on the other, that's what the Buccaneers have had success with, that 1-2 punch with Shaq Barrett in his prime, Jason Pierre-Paul in his prime during that Super Bowl run in the next year. And I think that that's what they have to try to find, whether it's with another first round pick in the draft as an edge rusher to come in and be the guy that Joe Tryon-Shoyinka just frankly is not, or finding a value signing in free agency. I don't think you're going to see Jason Light go out and headhunt one of these top pass rushers like a Huff, who's going to get a lot of money, or Brian Burns, just because the Buccaneers' money this year is going to be spent in Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield, Tristan Wirfs' new contract, Antoine Winfield Jr., Chase McLaughlin, re-signing the guys that have already proven themselves in Tampa. That's going to take up most of the team's cap room this year.
Hopefully they can find a pass rusher that, really can pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. And I think one way that's pretty good that should help about going about it is if you have a Celsius energy drink before on third down. And if you're lucky, you'll have a Celsius Essential before that third down play. The new Celsius Essentials is the line brought out by Celsius. They have 270 milligrams of caffeine to help you live fit, and there's no sugar in them either, just like all the other Celsius energy drinks. It's the ultimate drink line by Celsius for the fitness enthusiast looking to elevate your performance. There's three essential aminos in this formula for the Celsius Essentials, and it's an unbeatable combination of ingredients to help your physical and cognitive performances. You can get a Celsius Essential at 7-Eleven nationwide. You can get the three-flavor variety pack at Walmart. They're rolling out nationwide to select retailers, and soon you can pick them up on Amazon. So whether it's a Celsius Essential, whether it's some of the original flavors of Celsius, Cosmic Vibe, Fuji Apple Pear, Orange, Watermelon, Arctic Vibe, go to Celsius Store Locator if you need to know where to find one to pick one up. Punch in your address on their website, and I'll tell you the closest location where you could pick one up. Could be a Walmart, Target, itself, health and fitness store, 7-Eleven, or could be a bodega. You're muted.
Bodega.
There we go. And once you keep going to your bodega and you want more, you can get them in bulk. Head on over to Amazon. Get the variety pack because variety is the spice of life, and you have it sent to your place of residence whenever you want. It could be a week, month, quarterly, yearly. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. Let's keep these super chats rolling in. Thanks to Trustin Vorbeck for the $9.99 super chat, who says, middle of the field had no answers. What was your thoughts on going for two there? At least my parlay hit $1,350. Wow. Congrats, Trustin. Yeah, you were talking about this during the the game day stream. Here's my donation. Thank you for the coverage this season and upcoming offseason. Trustin, thank you so much for the $9.99 super chat and for the kind words. I personally didn't have an issue with it. You see all the teams go for two in that situation, down 14. I really don't think it was a big deal. You had to score twice anyway. Probably should have been a flag thrown on the Mike Evans play. People would have got on their case if they didn't go for it. People got on their case for going for it.
I'm okay going for it, but go for it the next time around. Because there's a little bit of momentum switch here, right? Because it's a little deflating when you don't get it. And now you need 8 points. Now you got to score again, and you got to get the 2-point conversion just to tie. Otherwise, you lose, right? So I would much rather kick the extra point, which is 100% success rate, right? Get it to a 7-point game, where at least you have a chance to consider going for the tie and going to overtime. But fine, you're a road underdog, win it at the end. Because to me, there's momentum is real. That's something that analytics just can't really put a grasp on. So to me, I think you go for the extra point first, and then after you score that game tying touchdown, you have a chance to, with momentum, because you just scored, you have it, the Lions fans are quieted. Yeah. There's a hush crowd. And then you have a chance of winning the game with a 2-point conversion if you want to do that, or you can go into overtime and take your chances. So that's just my two cents worth.
A big thank you to Dominic Tarantino for this $20 super chat, who says, just want to say thank you, Pewter Report, for your excellent coverage all season long. You guys are my go-to with anything Bucks. Can't wait to see what this team can do next year. Go Bucks. Thank you very much, Dominic. And make sure you stay tuned for the whole offseason, because we'll have draft coverage. We got the combine coming up. Even Matt, sooner than that is
we're going to be in Mobile, Alabama next week, just about. So a week from tomorrow. Yeah. So we'll be in Senior Bowl.
Going to the Senior Bowl, going to the combine. Then before you know it, free agency is here. And then it's the draft. So the coverage is not slowing down at all. It's just a little bit different because we're not talking about the next game for the Buccaneers. We're talking about the next player building opportunity for Tampa Bay.
Yep.
That's how I'll look at it. But yeah, thank you very much for the kind words, Dominic. Appreciate you. Whit Waiter says, thanks for the $4.99 super chat. Says, I think we have a bright future. How far do you think our cap space will take us in the offseason? No matter what, glad where we ended.
I think that from what I have gleaned, I'll let you read between the lines there. The Buccaneers are going to use a lot of their cap money on re-signing their own star players, right? And that makes the most sense. I still think the Buccaneers are going to try to find some of those value signings. Think the $4 million quarterback in Baker Mayfield, the $4 million pass rusher in Shaq Barrett back in 2019. Those value signings, I think, are what Jason Light in the front office are going to look for. Sometimes you spend a bunch of money like they did with Ryan Jensen and it works out. Sometimes you spend a bunch of money like you did on Russell Gage and it doesn't. But if you swing and miss like you did with Ryan Neal, it's a lot cheaper than it is with a guy like Russell Gage, who hasn't played in, you know, and when he does play, he's hurt. So I think that free agency is going to be trying to find some value guys, maybe not being outside of re-signing their own players. And again, that's not as sexy sometimes as bringing in new guys, right? Because new is fun. But I think a lot of Buccaneer fans will be very happy, Matt, if Baker Mayfield re-signs, if Mike Evans re-signs, and of course, Winfield, whether it's the franchise tag or a contract extension, is not going anywhere either.
Yeah, it has a little bit of that feel of the 2020 team after the season was done. It was like, all right, how are we going to re-sign Ndamukong Suh and Levante David and all those guys? And funny enough, we're talking about Levante David once again. So I think we're at least one more offseason away from like, oh, how about this other free agent that hasn't played for the Bucs before and what they can do, like with a big-time signing. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's okay as well, because it just shows like how good the Bucs have been of developing their own and getting people that way.
I think that the first wave, the initial wave of free agency, those are going to be the re-signing guys, right? Yes. Mike Evans coming back and all of that. Just like it was with Jamel Dean and Levante David, right? Last year, just like it was with Carlton Davis the year before. After that, I think the Buccaneers will be more apt to attack the second wave of free agency. And when those dollar values come down, they start to get some more value guys. Think guys like Chase Edmonds, for example, who I wouldn't mind seeing back in Tampa on another 1-year deal. I thought he was an okay backup, and ideally maybe he's like your number three, but you draft a running back and throw him into the mix with Rashad White, because I think if they lose Rashad White, and he did get banged up at the end of the year, Matt, they have no running game and no running back, because I don't think Chase Edmonds can carry the load. So they need another running back now that they've, you know, got rid of Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah, and maybe that guy's Sean Tucker. But yeah, I was thinking about that when Rashad was on the ground for a little bit injured. And I was like, oh, man, like, And Chase Edmonds has been injured, like, throughout his career. He usually misses some time each season. I'm like, are they going to be down to just Sean Tucker? So maybe Sean Tucker improves. But, yeah, running back is not off the board this year, which is fun. It's an exciting position. Yeah. Thanks to Sloth Mike for the $5 super chat. Can 27, talking about Zion McCollum, be better at safety than cornerback? Well, Todd Bowles said, I love Zion at cornerback. Mm-hmm. I like him at safety. Zion's kind of alluded to, he does love playing cornerback, but he's a team guy and willing to help out the team in any way. I don't know. I'd have to see it a little bit more before I totally sign up for it. But I like Zion as a corner. I think he does pretty good there.
I do too. I think he ends up being a starter next year. And I think contractually, I think they have to kind of keep Jamel Dean for one more year just because he re-signed. Yeah. You know, the problem with Dean, though, is this, man, he's a guy that almost is like Carlton Davis, where he's just getting hurt an awful lot. And,
yeah,
you know, and then just kind of like Carlton Davis, too, doesn't get many interceptions. So I just wonder if there's a little bit of buyer's remorse with Jamel Dean. I mean, you know, it's hard to say because he had a really good year last year and deserved to be re-signed. I'm not saying that, but now that you're into that second contract with him, just like with Carlton Davis, these guys have a hard time staying on the field. And when they're on the field, they're good, but they don't make those splash plays that you would hope a $12 million cornerback would make.
Yeah, they're like, again, I kind of already said it, but on other teams where you have that legit lockdown, shutdown corner, I think Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis make like premier top cornerback two rankings. But in this situation, when you don't have that guy that takes the ball away, it can get very frustrating. Yep. It's not frustrating seeing the super chat from Dante Mason.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dante.
Thank you.
It was $49.99 super chat, who says, wasn't a bad season. They counted us out from day one. Did Devin White even play? Didn't see much of him. KJ Britt will have a big season next year. Yeah, I think, again, that's one of the big takeaways you got to have is this team exceeded all expectations from pretty much anyone that gave a thought about the Bucs this year and came really close in this divisional game as well. Devin White's gone. Didn't do anything today.
Yeah.
Going to be a free agent. Some team is going to overpay for him, and hats off to them. And hats off to Devin for getting that money, because I know Bucks fans aren't in love with Devin White anymore, and that ship has sailed. But team captain and a starting inside linebacker for a Super Bowl winning team. So, but KJ Britt, there's a lot of him for next year at starting linebacker.
Yeah, my concern with KJ Britt is just in coverage, right? He's just not that great in coverage. He's that downhill thumper in the run game. That's how he's used. But Todd Bowles also likes to drop seven and rush four sometimes. So what happens, Matt, if he is the starting linebacker, he's going to have to drop with Lavonte David. I think he is one of those guys that teams like Detroit, they're going to attack with either the tight end or the back out of the backfield. And we saw KJ struggle in some space today, especially when his feet get stopped. So I like him better than Devin White because he's more consistent, but he does have some flaws in his game and coverage that still concern me.
Thanks to Amazement 717 for this $4.99 super chat, who says, was it me or was this game eerily similar to the Packers Niners game? Even ended in an interception too.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, somewhat for sure. Thanks to Bucks Baseman for this $9.99 super chat, who says, damn, good season. We need to make sure Evans is back. Baker, Winfield, and Lavonte as well. Get rid of White, Neal, and Barrett. Bucks need to get a pass rush running back to help White and a tight end.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment across the board. Yeah. And it's something we've kind of been talking about, Matt, you and I, all season long. So hats off to Bucks Basement there for paying attention and understanding exactly what we need, because that's Peter Report's been on top of it in terms of where some of these flaws are in this team, the holes in this roster that made it a 9-win team rather than an 11 or 12 win team, and made it, a team that went 1-1 in the postseason, not 2-0.
Because remember, if this game was at home at Raymond James Stadium, we could be talking about a different game. So going on the road, I think, played a factor a little bit.
I agree.
To the Crazy Shank with the $4.99 super chat, who says, players and coaches seemed ill-prepared, lots of drops and blown coverages. Sad that this is how they go out. Embarrassing display all around.
I don't know.
Appreciate your super chat, but I disagree. I mean, they were in it until the end.
Yeah,
call it embarrassing, I think, is
it was
way off course.
It was tied at halftime, right? It was 17-17 at the end of third, the third quarter. Wasn't a perfect game, but I mean, you have to give the Lions credit, man. They're they're 12-win team, 13 when you're including the playoff win last week, and then 14 wins now, including today's win. So this is a 14-win team. That's pretty good. I mean, they're a good team that deserves to be in the NFC Championship game. I think they're going to give the 49ers a run for their money. And you know, it's a lot of the Bucs' problems were self-inflicted, but some of those problems were Lions inflicted too. I mean, you have to give the Lions credit for playing good. And you can't win every single down. You can't win every single series. Can't win every single quarter. And for three quarters, the Bucs were right in it. And they just did not have enough left in the tank. I don't think Todd Bowles did a very good job of switching things up and going to plan B and plan C against Jared Goff today. I think Jared Goff remains the puzzle that he just simply hasn't solved.
Yeah, no, that's fair, completely. And you could also say, well, the early turnover gave the Lions solid field position. Not like, you know, it wasn't like they were at the goal line, but you know, that's 3 points that is kind of unfair to put on the defense. And the Bucs had the ball with 2 minutes, a minute 59, but 2 minutes left in the game with a chance to tie the game.
Yep.
To say that they got embarrassed is a little bit off. Thanks for these $4.99 super chats from Ehinote, who says, what do you guys think about no and 2-3 straight drives in the second half that shreds us? No answers at halftime. They have another one as well. Thank you. Sorry, try this again. 3 straight drives that shredded us in the second half killed us. We had no answer on defense after halftime. Yeah, that kind of goes into what we were talking about before with not going for it when the offense had the ball, the Bucs offense I'm talking about.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When Todd Bowles elected to punt it, and then they went down 2 scores instead of trying to go for it and tie the game up. At that point, the Lions had figured out the Bucs. And I don't know, football gets into these weird things at times where, like, you could be flowing as an offense, but then it says, oh, well, you know, there's 4 minutes left. There's like 3 minutes left in the game. So now we have to run this like weird conservative offense just to force teams to run their timeouts. And like it kind of just slowed the rhythm and the momentum of the Lions and actually helped the Bucs.
I agree.
Not going for it on fourth down, I think, was really the big moment of the game.
Yeah. And also, too, I agree. I just don't think Todd Bowles adjusted well to what the Lions are doing. They just kept hammering the middle of the field with backs, tight ends, receivers. And just kind of soft zone coverage in the middle, just, you know, just really kind of took it to Bowles' team. And I think they wore down a little bit in the run game in the fourth quarter as well. Credit the Lions for continuing to stick with the run. And that was all she wrote for Tampa Bay's defense.
Thanks to Tom Bucks fan for this $5 super chat, who says, on that touchdown pass to Reynolds, was White supposed to be at the beginning of the goal line, leaving all 10 yards behind him wide open? I would need to see a replay. I know everyone immediately jumped to blaming Devin White on the touchdown. I'm not sure. I'd have to get another look at the replay. We don't know what the play call was.
We don't know what the play call is. It is either Christian Izian bailed on his guy and thought there was going to be a switch, or he did the right thing and Devin was supposed to drop back and protect the middle of the deeper middle of the field in the end zone. It's one or the other. It's either Izian's guy or it was or Devin White is what it looked like to me.
Thanks again to Tristan Vorbeck for this $9.99 super chat, who says, middle of the field, had no answers. What was your thoughts? I thought we already answered this. Going for two.
I think he goes through twice.
The parlay. Thanks again for the super chat and the $9.99 super chat. Because Tristan had another one of $49.99. Thank you to Tristan again, who says, you know what? I'm feeling nice because my Bills-Chiefs parlay is looking nice as well.
Congrats,
well, happy you're winning money. Congrats to you, and appreciate you for the super chat. Let me know what the parlay is. interested in that.
I won $70 on the Bucks beating the Eagles last week as underdogs. Nice. I picked the Bucks again this week because I got to put my money where my mouth is, and I lost. But it would have been a nice payout as well because that had been at plus 6.5. So, unfortunately,
yeah, 2-point conversion. You,
yep.
You would have hit.
Yep, exactly.
They covered that. Olvasak, thanks for the $5 super chat. Says thanks so much, Pewter Report, for the coverage this year. My wishes for the coming years: interior offensive line help and a defense like our first Super Bowl. Good wishes to have, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Getting that extra pass rusher and then a playmaker in the secondary that can take the ball away, I think should be high up on the list for the
Bucks. I agree. It's important to note, and I want to say that last year, for example, because I think Marpet's contract would have been up, but last year, and certainly in 2021, right, when Ali Marpet retired, after the 21 season, Ryan Jensen and Ali Marpet were supposed to be the starting guard and center on that team last year in Tampa, right? Marpet retired unexpectedly. Yeah. Jensen gets hurt. And I know Jensen was still under contract this year, obviously. I want to say Marpet might have been under contract this year as well, right? So just kind of imagine, pretend.
Yeah.
What that would have looked like, right? To have Ali Marpet rather than Stinney at guard or Filer, and having Ryan Jensen at center rather than Robert Hainsey, right? I mean, we're playing woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? Yeah. The reality is those guys are gone and long gone, but that's what was supposed to be there. And now the Buccaneers over this past year and also this year will have to put resources into those positions that Jason Light in the front office thought were already fortified, right? Back a couple of years ago when you're planning and strategizing what your depth chart's going to look like back in 2021/2022 before Marpet retired, those guys are on the board atop the depth chart right there. And and you think we're good there, and all of a sudden you're not. Now you have to put in resources with draft picks, et cetera. And not just resources, Matt, but time, right? Cody Mauch might be really good in time. He might be the next Marpet, but he's not now as a rookie, right? And so same thing with, like, Alex Kappa. Took him 4 years to really become Alex Kappa. And so you had some guys that were already – that already arrived. They were already Pro Bowl-level players in Marpet and Jensen. And so it's you got to put resources in to replace them and more time, and it just sets you back a little bit as a franchise because of that unexpected injury and that unexpected retirement.
You may want to put some more resources into your picks over at Underdog Fantasy using the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. Make anywhere from 2 to 5 picks. Got to be one player from each team. And you could choose a number of different things, whether it's over under receiving yards or rushing yards, tackles, because they got some stats for the defensive players or passing touchdowns. You can win up to 20 times your money with Underdog Fantasy. They got a ton of fun, different games. You can bet on all the sports, too, not just football. So sign up at the app at Underdog Fantasy using the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R. Shout out to Underdog Fantasy. Let's keep these super chats going. We still got a lot left, and we're going to answer every single one. Thanks to Scotty J for the $4.99 super chat, who says, I'm a 60-year-old, big, ugly, and I have never seen a culture change so fast from one quarterback to another. I like these captains. Britt earned a C next year. I don't know if KJ Britt necessarily has. He's only started a handful of games, and I think has to prove it next year. He might not even be a captain. He might not even be the starting linebacker next season. But to your point about the culture change with Baker coming in, the positive effect that Baker Mayfield had, not to say that when Brady left it was like completely ugly, but just the Bucs have the players on offense. Tristan Wirfs has spoken about this. They just have a different relationship with Baker than they did with Tom Brady. And one is better than the other, but the one that they had with Baker, I think, was truly, truly special to those guys this season.
Yeah, and I think, too, not a lot of quarterbacks, Matt, could come in and fill those shoes, right?
Yeah.
And not feel some pressure. I don't think Baker Mayfield felt any pressure at all replacing Tom Brady. He had the utmost respect for him, but he kind of just shrugged it off and said, yeah, I'm the quarterback now, you know, and we're going to ride. And it's just, that's just kind of how it was. And I think that the ghost of Tom Brady was vanquished pretty quickly. I don't think there's a lot of people that were wishing Tom Brady was still around or whatever. And that's no disrespect to Tom. It just, they just turned the page and Baker helped them turn the page quickly. And he played really, really well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And maybe some of it was just how last season ended. But no one's like really thinking about Brady too much this year.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kathy Gillespie for the $4.99 super chat, who says, withdrawal is going to suck. Going to need you guys. Counting on you for the latest and greatest. I'll stay tuned. Thanks for all of your hard work. Yeah, thank you very much. And we'll continue to have shows. That ain't changing.
It's so fun, you know, in the off season to do free agency and draft. It's a lot more fun to talk football in January rather than go right into the draft. We're actually going to have our first mock draft of the year this week on PeterReport.com. So stay tuned for that first 7-round Bucks mock draft. But the off season, that's kind of what Peter Report's known for, right? I mean, it's just as long as football season is. It just Senior Bowl, Combine, as Matt talked about, we're going to be at both of those events. Free agency will be here before you know it. I think there's going to be a couple coaching changes on the staff as well this year. So there's going to be a lot to talk about this offseason. And the thing is, none of it's really televised, right? I mean, outside of combine drills and Senior Bowl practices and stuff, but when you want the insight, we have the inside scoop. We have our connections and sources, and we have a great way to keep you all informed. So make sure you're staying tuned to PeterReport.com and, of course, the Peter Report podcast, which will continue 4 days a week.
Appreciate Tall Florida Guy for this $1.99 super chat. Was this Lavonte David's last game as a Buck?
I don't think so. I think he's coming back for a year. We'll see. I think Lavonte played really, really well. I think Tampa Bay is going to continue to re-sign him to one-year deals like they did with Rondé Barber at the end of his career. So I don't think I don't think that Lavonte David is going to be have to, you know, selling his house anytime soon. But if he was going to move, Eric Gross in the Eric Gross Group, that'd be the person I would call. Why? Because they're the official realtors of Peter Report. Also because they're just the best in the business when it comes to helping you buy or sell your house here in the Tampa Bay area, across the state of Florida, or if you're moving into the state or out of the state, they can help on both ends of those transactions. Eric is an avid Peter Report reader. And a Tampa native. His dad was stationed here at MacDill Air Force Base, so he knows this area like at the back of his hand. They've got a strong team of vendors and a network of over 85,000 agents. That's why the Eric Gross Group can help you turn your dream of buying or selling a home into a reality. Their clients aren't just transactions. They're lifelong friendships. So don't let the stress of buying or selling a home keep you out of the game. Let the Eric Gross Group take the pressure off. Find them on Facebook or Instagram at Eric Gross Group, or check out their website, housesinfla.com. That's housesinfla.com. Or give Eric a call at 513-907-4271. No matter where you are in your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Peter Report. Make sure to visit housesinfla.com.
Thanks to Christopher Oxentine for this $5 super chat, who says, great coverage all season, Peter Report. Detroit was just a better day. Yeah, they got a ton of thank you for the kind words and for your consistent contributions.
Definitely.
Amazement 717 with the $4.99 super chat says, is there anything Baker can improve on next season, or is he what he is at this point? Good question.
It's really good. You know, the batted balls are going to be there because he's vertically challenged.
There is like some surgery you can do where like it's like knee surgery and it makes you taller, but I don't think Baker's going to do that, nor would I recommend it.
Maybe he could trade in his cleats for some Kiss boots, like the rock band Kiss, and have those platform shoes. I don't know. We kid. But I think that he's capable of having those three touchdown games like he had last week without interceptions, and certainly the game he had up there in Green Bay. I think he can have a couple of more instances of that next year, and then maybe reduce one or two of those clunker games. You know, no quarterback's going to be perfect and go out there and just ball for 17 weeks without turnovers and throwing up three or four touchdowns a game. But I think Baker can crest that 30 touchdown, you know, mark and get maybe 35 or 36 or so, and maybe keep that interception number to around 10. I think that's possible, Matt.
Yeah, a couple of things for sure I think he can improve on. And by the way, like, I know he had the bad turnover at the end, but one of the things going into the season was, will Baker be that turnover machine he's been in the past? He improved on that. He answered that. Yeah. Most of the season, he was great at not giving the ball away. So that obviously needs to continue. His pocket presence, I would love, and I think maybe just being in a year two with this Canales system, knowing when to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, because again, it's great when he can break tackles and scramble 15 yards up the field, but that only happens occasionally. Other times he breaks a tackle, then gets sacked by this guy, gets hit by that guy, like all at once. So a little more awareness in the pocket.
I agree. Would
love from Baker. And some of the timing on his throws. Like even today, we saw a high one to Chris Godwin, just cleaning up some of the throws a little bit.
Yep.
Thanks to Aaron for this $9.99 super chat, who says, now with our season end, I would love to see Tyler Biadasz of Dallas be signed to succeed Ryan Jensen. Same type of enforcer mentalities and an incredible bulldozer in the run game.
Depends on the price tag. The Bucs are not going to go out and spend a whole bunch of money for offensive linemen. They'll draft them. They do a really good job of that. There's a couple of really good centers this year. Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon is one of those guys to keep an eye on. Also, make sure you keep an eye on tomorrow's show, as Matt and I will be live at One Buccaneer Place as the Bucs season wraps up with Todd Bowles' final press conference, plus the players as they clear out their lockers. So make sure you tune into that at 4 o'clock. And also, make sure you're following all of our post-game coverage on PeterReport.com and our social media on X, Facebook, and Instagram at Peter Report, as well as YouTube, Peter Report TV. Buccaneer fans, Peter people, we are at 13,100. You help us meet our goal by the end of the season. We crushed 13,000. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thanks, guys, a ton. Thank you for all your support throughout the season. Again, we're not done. The Bucs season is done, but we are not finished. We have all off-season coverage, a lot of great things showing up. So for Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of the Peter Report Podcast. Out.
Out.